Hello and welcome to The Buck Stops Here tonight. A landmark new report has found that diesel SUVs on Indian roads are emitting 25 to 65 times more noxious nitrogen oxide as compared to a small petrol car. Now, these shocking results come from actual on-road emission tests. And a study published earlier this year in Nature magazine said that excess diesel car emissions were linked to 38,000 deaths, premature deaths, worldwide in 2015. Most of these were in Europe, India and China. We're asking tonight, is it now more important than ever before? In fact, is it now imperative to say no to diesel cars? We're being joined on the program tonight by Anoop Bandivadekar. He's the project director of the International Council on Clean Transportation. He's in fact co-author of that landmark report that we're going to be discussing in detail tonight. Sunita Narayan, Director General, Center for Science and Environment, which has been highlighting this report here in India. Jagdish Khattar, CMD of Carnation Auto, former Managing Director of Maruti Udyog Limited, also with us tonight, as is Tutu Dhawan, an auto expert and a classic car restorer. Anoop, let me begin with you. I think we're taking this report particularly seriously because for the first time, we have hard data, or rather you have hard data to show that even adding one diesel SUV to the road is the same as adding, in effect, 65 small petrol cars. Are we correct in saying this? And what evidence do you have to back this finding?
Sure. Thanks, Ankita. Basically, it's true that nitrogen oxide emissions from large diesel SUVs are anywhere between 40 to 60 times that of a small gasoline car. And this we found by testing all of the vehicles, one small gasoline car, one small diesel car, and a diesel SUV in both laboratory and on-the-road conditions using a portable emission monitoring system.
Right. So this is an on-road emission test, and effectively this shows up most diesel cars to be enormous polluters, well above the limit, even if these cars have actually passed tests in lab conditions.
That's exactly true. This is a problem that's not unlike what we've seen in Europe for the last decade, and it seems like India, unfortunately, might be repeating the same mistakes from Europe. So these cars are still passing the tests even here in India. But unfortunately, in the real-life conditions, which is where really the emissions matter, the performance is actually not up to par.
All right. So your organization actually also was responsible for uncovering what is now known as Dieselgate, the Volkswagen emissions scandal, which revealed that cars were in fact made to adhere to emission standards when they were tested in labs, but it was a whole different ballgame when they were actually tested on the roads. So are you then saying that A, this is not limited to Volkswagen alone, and B, that this is true of diesel cars worldwide?
The experience from Europe suggests that calibrating the cars one way for passing the test and then calibrating it differently for on-road conditions is not a one-company problem. It seems to be pretty pervasive. We don't know exactly what the situation is in India. This is the first attempt to find out how widely different the on-road performance is. The on-road emissions are always going to be different from what you measure in the laboratory. It's just we don't know how bad the performance is actually on the road. And really what we need to make sure is then to get the manufacturers to design the vehicles in a way that will actually perform the same way in the lab as on the road.
All right, Jagdish Khattar, I want you to come in on this because this report seems to prove that emissions from on-road diesel cars far exceed Bharat Stage 6 emission standards in India. Now, this seems to dispel this myth that there is such a thing as a clean diesel car. How would you respond to that?
I think let's keep one thing in mind. You know, we have been having this discussion, debate on diesel, etc., etc. I think we have to wait for 2030 when Mr. Gadkari will give us all electric cars on the road. So I think major problem will be solved. But coming back to this, I mean, we need to first decide, are we against diesel or we are against diesel cars? I mean, that is very important. Number two, we are comparing petrol cars, small petrol cars, with SUVs. Is that like to like? I mean, I'm not trying to defend, but I'm trying to say that what are some flaws in the whole argument given, small petrol cars compared to SUVs which are bigger. I mean,
the numbers are shocking. 65 times, we're still talking about one car at the end of the day, whether it's a larger car or a smaller car. When we're saying that a car is effectively polluting 65 times more than the other car, then surely even a like-to-like comparison has to sort of, you know, take this into account, that these are shocking figures.
I think No. You take one figure, it is shocking, but let's take overall. I mean, again, I'm saying, are we against diesel or we are against diesel cars? Okay, diesel cars we are talking about, that has been mentioned just now. But let's face it, as far as the diesel is concerned, we have 50,000 megawatts of diesel generators running in this country today. Mr. Goyal says that we are surplus in power and stations are running at 57%.
Okay, so, all right,
can we convert that into electricity and it would take care of so much?
I can see Sunita Narayan disagreeing with that. Sunita, I'm going to let you interject at this point and then come back to Mr. Khattar.
No, one second, I'll just finish. I'll just finish.
Okay.
No, Ankita, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just frustrated and saddened.
So are we.
I mean, Ankita, this argument of industry just does not wash anymore. I mean, we have been saying very clearly there is a fiscal incentive for diesel. Even today, diesel versus petrol, the price of diesel is much cheaper because of the taxation. We know that that has meant huge amount of dieselization. Now, the point that Mr. Khattar has made is that you're not comparing like to like. The fact is that there is only one emission standard for small diesel and large diesel together.
Right.
For petrol and diesel, if you look at NOx emissions, there's about a 3 to 5% difference in standard. Okay? So you would expect a diesel car, a big one or a small one, to emit about 3 to 5 times more NOx than a petrol. What Anoop's study has shown is that on road, that vehicle could be emitting 65 times more.
Right.
Now, clearly, this only suggests to us that we should not be allowing dieselization in India. If we want vehicles, we do want cars. Why not petrol cars? You have to tax diesel. You have to bring the price of diesel and petrol to be one. You have to make emission standards one. And you need to test on-road emissions. You can't only do testing at PUC
right.
centers.
I think that's a very
you
important,
have to
yes.
test on-road emissions.
That's a very important point that you raise. And I want to take that across to Dhawan as the auto expert on the show. I think it's interesting that not a single representative from an automaker in India was willing to join us on the show tonight. And even the Society of Indian Automobile Manufacturers, which initially said they would, pulled out in the end. And I think that just goes to show the levels of nervousness here. But Mr. Dhawan, I want to ask you, why is it that auto manufacturers resist any kind of on-road testing? Why is it that there seem to be different standards when it comes to lab testing and an emissions test actually on the road in actual real-world conditions?
Well, all that I can say is our emission standards are different to the international standards.
Yes.
Whereas in America, we are now going under Euro 6 norms, and here we are still struggling to, fight Euro 4 norms. And on top of that, there is no stringent checking on vehicles that are being manufactured. There are no independent organizations which are doing all these tests. Like now, Anoop has done something very commendable, I would say, to have found what goes behind the scene. like this, there should have been a government agency which should have been doing all these things.
Okay.
And giving a report to the ARAI and also to the Society of Automotive Manufacturing Association, so that they could upgrade their own technology if they have, or else, you know, let's look for an alternate.
Okay, what is this alternative then? Jagdish Khattar, I'm going to repeat the same question to you. Why are auto manufacturers resisting real-world emission tests in India? What is it that they have to hide?
No, this is a wrong impression that the manufacturers are avoiding anything. The manufacturers are just saying that you lay down the law and we'll follow it. And they have been doing it year after year. There are some people who talk from here, there, and say that these are the things.
They're not following it.
You have had Euro 2, Euro 3, Euro 4, and Euro 6 on road. They're following it. Who's trying to avoid anything? The tragedy is that they were talking about incentive and disincentive. Yes, that's for the government to do it. Already, I think 2 years back, we had diesel which was 55-60%, is already down to 40%. Let the government take policy decisions. Let's not bring things like that. And number two, there is no way that the manufacturers are avoiding anything. But what they are saying is that
whatever law you have, let there be a roadmap
we'll follow.
All right, but it's an important point that you raise. And Sunita Narayan, do you believe at least that when it comes to actual sales of diesel cars, we are in fact seeing a drop? And what would you attribute that to? Just to cite government figures that were given in Parliament earlier this month, apparently 3/4 of the fuel cars sold in India in 2016-17 were powered by petrol rather than diesel. And diesel car sales have plummeted to 27% from 47% in 2012-2013. Do you think that perhaps the ban on diesel cars, which are older than 10 years, is partly the reason why? What would you attribute this to? And do you see this as a welcome development?
Yes, absolutely, Ankita. And I think it's three things that have happened. One, the clear Supreme Court ruling on the 1% cess. The fact that now it's very clear that over 10 years, you will not be able to drive your car. Also, now the government has, and I'm very grateful, I mean, very glad that the government has reversed its decision to impose under GST the cess on diesel, on large diesel cars, so that they make it more expensive. So I think that's all part of it, Ankita, and it's very important that we do this, even more of it. But I just want to make the point, and I just want to say why this study done by Anoop and his colleagues is so important.
Yes.
See, let's be clear, the government is investing huge amount of money to upgrade our refineries, and we will get BS 6 fuel, which is very clean fuel, by 2020. We already have BS 4 fuel right now, and it's come at huge cost. The problem today is that a BS 4 car, which is certified as BS4, that means it meets emissions as BS4 in the lab, is actually working like a BS1 car on the road, which means that all the investment that is made is getting negated. Now just think in 2020, if in 2020 we have BS6 fuel, very clean, very good, huge amount of investment being made by refineries. But if the vehicle on the road is as good as a BS1 car, then what's the whole advantage? What's the effort that we are putting in? That's why we need to change the testing methodologies to real world. That's what we've asked in the Supreme Court, and that's what government and SIAME are opposing us on.
All right, that's an important point you're making. And Anoop, this is something that you've written about extensively as well. You say that diesel car manufacturers are actually cheating regulatory requirements. You use strong words. You say that this is part of their corporate strategy.
Experience that we have had dealing with diesel cars in the European context definitely suggests a widespread methodology used by vehicle manufacturers. It's not just one or two. It's nearly all who are using strategies to basically pass the test in the lab, but really having tremendously bad performance on the road. In the Indian context, we really need to learn from that and avoid the mistakes that we are seeing in Europe today. And as Sumita pointed out, once the BS6 cars come in India in 2020, they need to be as clean on the road. And that's the most important takeaway that we could take, is to ensure that whatever comes out is going to be tested on the road under real driving conditions, and will be held, the manufacturers will be held responsible for the low emissions throughout their useful life.
But Sunita, I want to ask you one final question. Now that there is real hard data, in a sense, to prove this threat, what is the way ahead? Long-term alternatives to diesel seem to have improved dramatically. Is that the way forward? What are the solutions here?
You know, Ankita, it's such a simple solution. I mean, I don't know why we are getting so heated about it. I mean, the fact is nobody is opposing a petrol car. And you do have petrol cars. They will meet the needs of rich people. You can have a petrol SUV if you want. If you want to drive a big fat car, you can still drive it on petrol. What's the big deal? I think the only question that we have is, what can we do to improve vehicles where petrol is not an option, whether it is trucks or even buses? How do we make sure there we can have much better use of technology so that those emissions are kept in check? But clearly, Ankita, what I find appalling is the way diesel car manufacturers have fought us tooth and nail for the last 15, 20 years. For 20 years, we have been pointing out that diesel is a carcinogen. Please accept the fact that we should not allow dieselization to happen because of the price differential. As you yourself pointed out, it was 47% of the new cars that were being sold were diesel. And this was the big Mercedes. People who could afford petrol were still going for a diesel variant because it was cheaper fuel, cheaper car. So I think, you know, let's understand, if we care about our health, we are going to have to decide. And, you know, if you just wait around for government and industry to come around, it's not going to work. I certainly don't have faith in the automobile industry to accept the writing on the wall and to accept the fact that they are jeopardizing our health today.
All right, strong words indeed, and I hope that message does get communicated. That's all we have time for on this edition of The Buck Stops here on this discussion. Thank you all.